This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This BFM Budget 2022 special is brought to you by Ma Sing.
8:36 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with me, Shazana Mokhtar, Philip C, and Wong Xiaoning. In the meantime, though, we're looking at yet another forced labor allegation in the Malaysian glove sector. Last week, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection issued a withhold release order for Supermax and its subsidiaries. This WRO prevents the import of Supermax gloves into the U.S. Based on allegations of the use of forced labor in manufacturing operations. So in response, the glove maker announced that its U.S. representatives are in touch with the U.S. Customs to obtain more clarity and the required measures going forward.
This is the fourth Malaysian firm to face such a ban in the past 15 months, with the previous companies being Top Glove last July and also palm oil producers Sime Darby Plantation and FG Holdings last year. So what are the underlying issues that's causing the U.S. authorities to focus on our manufacturers with regards to labor? Is this simply a COVID-19 problem or something much deeper?
So for more on this, we have with us Dr. Subramaniam Shanmugam, president of the Malaysian Rubber Glove Manufacturers Association. Good morning, Dr. Subra. Thanks for speaking with us today. Why are Malaysian rubber glove makers or Malaysian companies overall persistently falling foul of U.S. customs authorities when it comes to labor concerns? Can there be smoke without fire?
Yeah, I think one of the things we need to understand is the fact that almost all industries that are in the export market having footprints in numerous countries in terms of their buyers will go through this. A case in point, I must tell you, is palm oil is one of them. And then you have electronic industries and finally your furniture. So right now, the electronic boys went through this some years back and think they kind of fixed it or were given enough time. And now the glove boys are being focused. And mind you, the glove boys have their presence in 190 countries, almost every single country out there. But having said all that, I think what's happening then is obviously the focus gets into play, wherein the buyers just start looking at social compliances. And we have basically engaged them all through right from the beginning, be it the CBP or be it the embassy, wherein we are saying that this is something we will do, but please give us some time. And the whole situation got exacerbated by the COVID scenario, wherein we could not move very much for the past 2 years to speed things up and put in all the remedial situations in. But I can tell you one thing, you know, we do not employ child labor. We do not employ illegals. So our focus then will be on the 11 indicators of the forced labor. Of the 11 indicators of forced labor, two of them are something that needs time. One is the situation of debt bondage, because there's a mechanism attached to it in terms of how do you manage this. And the other is the other indicator which we need time on is the living conditions.
How long is it going to take to resolve these two indicators you've highlighted?
Way back in 2019, we actually made a resolution to manage one of it, which is the debt bondage scenario. We made a pledge and all members agreed in future, in bringing in the new workers in, we would ensure they come in on a debt-free situation, a zero recruitment fee scenario. You know, so we all agreed and we will implement it. However, there was no recruitment simply because there was a freeze in foreign labor intake. So going forward, we got a solution. But now the existing workers who are within the system itself, we had to go through this huge exercise of basically doing the interviews, finding out how much money they owed when they came 5 years ago or 6 years ago or 4 years ago. So it is a lot of data to be collected, interviewed, averaged out, and then work out something that is palatable for both the employees as well as the employer. And that was the scheme we went on to. And that takes time. And I would say today the industry has paid out close to about 700 million ringgit just on that, taking care of those old debts or remediation. And mind you, I must mention this to you, it is not anything that has gotten into the pockets of the manufacturers. It is due to the unscrupulous recruitment agents. Yeah. So if not for the COVID, I think things would be much faster. And I'm looking at in the next realm of 1 to 1.5 years. The other thing is housing. The housing requires the fact that you need to get the land, need to put up the hostels. It is again a time situation. And that's where we are talking to all our stakeholders, be it the embassies or be it the Malaysian government. to speed things up, we need to talk and get the local authorities to agree in terms of approval of land for buildings and so forth. So the time frame you look at it is 1.5 to 2 years time.
Now, you earlier mentioned the COVID-19. So let's talk about that. How has that affected the rubber glove players?
I think we actually went into COVID itself with a shortage of labor. We were having shortage of workers, right, about 15 to 18,000 at that point in time. The COVID came in, some workers had went back on leave, couldn't come back and all that. So the numbers increased over the COVID period to about 20,000. Because of the demand being very high, we also expanded to take care of the demand itself. So eventually, with the expansion, with the shortfall inherited over the periods of pre-COVID and during the COVID, we're looking at a number of 25,000 workers which we need. So it is a very dire situation. And I tell you why it's dire. In 2019, simply because we do not have enough workers to run at a more optimum level in terms of capacity, we lost potentially close to about 7 billion ringgit in terms of export earnings. Notwithstanding the fact that we had brought in about 19 billion by way of export earnings. Yeah. Going on to 2020, we brought in export revenue of 36 billion, but we also had a potential loss, again, because of lack of workers, of close to about another 13 billion. And in 2021, we should be bringing in about 55 billion in terms of export earnings. If the numbers jive right up to August, we already hit 40 billion. So we think by the time we close our books in December, we should be in the region of about 50 to 55 billion. But the potential losses, because of the fact that we don't have enough workers, will be easily in the region of about 16 to 17 more billion. What happens is this. Customers come in, they ask for this extra volume. We can't fulfill it. They move to the competitor countries. And this is buy it off for them kind of thing. Yeah.
All right, so that's definitely a headwind for your sector then, Dr. Supra. Before we let you go, could we get a quick take from you on what's on your budget wish list?
We are just telling the government that give us the tools to run our businesses. Okay, and so that was where the foreign labor thing came in. That may not be within the realm of the budget itself. But on the other hand, we also tell ourselves that we need to reduce headcounts. And over a period of time, we replace the foreign workers with local trained workers. I think that would be the way going forward on the midterm scenarios. So to facilitate that particular situation using headcounts, the most important thing would be automation. Automation, AI, and so forth has to come in. As it stands now, over a period of about 10 years, we have automated completely. And we are now at a level where the lines are about 85% automated. The last 15% automation is obviously the most difficult. It's the most difficult, because the last mile and it's most complicated. It would have been achieved if not for the fact it's the most difficult one. But there's a lot of work going on that, and that requires a lot of capital investment in terms of the R&D, in terms of the investments to embrace such kind of automation. And so our request to the government in terms of budget wish list would be to talk about the reinvestment allowances, which we then like to use it for automation, AI, R&D, being an innovation, innovative products in terms of chemistry and so forth. And this has been our mantra basically for the past three budgets.
Dr. Supra, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Subramaniam Shanmugam, president of the Malaysian Rubber Glove Manufacturers Association, capping the conversation with just a short list of things that he's hoping to see in Budget 2022 that could help spur more automation in the sector. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
This BFM Budget 2022 special was brought to you by Mars Singh. Reinvent spaces, enhance life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.